thought you were ready.
Ready for what?
Yeah, a little more dribble.
Chapter 12, Luke.
Mark Luke.
Verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. It's interesting, though, that proclaimed is a... I'm not going to go word by word and all that, but proclaimed is a... It's the same word for, it's kiruso, which means it's a word that's used for preaching, but it's you're somehow acting in an official capacity. And the only thing that makes sense is that which you have spoken in the closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. And it's like, in the context, it has to mean that which you have talked about to yourself is proclaimed upon the housetops. And it's from an official. Well, of course, the official is the instead of Christ. We think there's a neutral position for our thought process, and we think that there's a, you know, but it's all just beyond evil. And we can't... This is why we can't comprehend it. We can talk and say forever that your mind is the instead of Christ or the Antichrist, but you know the thought processes continue. You still worship the mind, give it importance, give it breath, and it goes on and on and on and on. And pretty soon, the idea. I don't know if you remember, I can remember the first time I talked about it and said you were the Antichrist. It was pretty intense. But now it's just common denominator, but the Antichrist thoughts continue. Because you've forgotten that they're the Antichrist speaking. All of the evil about the instead of Christ, the Antichrist, the 666... the number written on your forehead and on your right hand, it's all you. It's all the activity of your mind, but you somehow have justified it. And this is what's frustrating to me. Anybody have any response?
When salvation comes, you're given the Spirit and power to resist these things.
Right, by emptying the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He completed the test. You don't have to worry about it. But if you continue to give the slightest breath of importance to what your mind is doing, or your emotions, for that matter, then you're still worshiping the Antichrist.
Well, where's the hope?
Repentance.
Where's the repentance?
When you see yourself doing it.
I agree. Yeah.
But that's why you must revenge. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 10.
It seems to me, you got to be careful here because all of a sudden you're back into you got to do something.
No, you're
and
not.
It's, and it's right
you're
on
not
the
in the got to do stuff.
Well, you're saying it, so I'm
no, you're reckoning. You supposedly, again, 2 Corinthians 10. I mean, the assumption in the Scriptures, and I say this over and over again, is that when you're baptized, you reckon that it was your burial, including all of your mind. And when you come out of the water, it's the prefiguring of the resurrection. So it assumes that you, the mind has already been seen as the enemy. You're baptized, sealed it. You are buried in baptism. So let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing or high place, it says, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then this is the one. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When your obedience is fulfilled. And your obedience is fulfilled, the scriptures assume your obedience is fulfilled at your baptism. That's your burial. So you revenge the disobedience the minute that the mind comes back into play. And this is, you can rest assured that you're, that this, that, that's why everything after baptism is just entering the rest. There's no more warfare. It's done. And on the rare occasions when you pay attention in your mind, you revenge that disobedience instantly.
That's a warfare, isn't it? I mean, there is a warfare. It just says it real plain right here.
Yeah, it's the warfare before baptism.
So after baptism, there is no warfare.
Well, that's, if it is, then you revenge it instantly. It's certainly not the common denominator. Right, that's what revenge does. I mean, repentance does.
Which comes first? The mighty through God.
Repentance comes first, always. Otherwise, you're going to just sit around and wait for God to do something. If you, and you already know the repentance. I mean, my God, we've seen the emptiness and vanity of the human race 1,000 times in 1,000 ways. We've studied it in Romans. We've studied it in every book of the Bible. But for some reason, this idea, I mean, I tell you, if I, you know, when I go somewhere else and preach that they've invented themselves and they're the Antichrist, my God, all hell breaks loose. But it's the common, now it's just, it's become familiar. And so you revert back to these old habits of using your mind to try to do anything. Where's the revenging? Well, it's the warfare is assumed to be over. If it isn't, you revenge it.
Well, then it's not assumed to be over because it obviously happens. So why assume it's over if it's happening and you know it happens?
Because it happens rarely from God's standpoint. That's what gave the first century apostles and disciples so much power. Because wherever they were, they created a vacuum, and the Holy Spirit rushed in to fill it. And they created the vacuum by repentance, by emptying, by the reckoning of their death. And the scriptures assume that that's the default position. But if you screw up, then there is a revenging your disobedience. And otherwise, unless you see this, I mean, you already know, the preaching, you've agreed that there is nothing in here that's of value. There's right. nothing in your mind that has a value. Nothing. It's the instead of Christ. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Unless you believe what some of the people are teaching. No, I've accepted Jesus and all my thoughts are sanctified. No. That's why the Trinity is so important, because he, as Son of Man, finished that way and taught us, and we see it. And then it's certified that we see it in baptism. And then on the rare occasions when there is, you do give it breath, then you revenge that disobedience. This is why, you know, I brought into you little children, because your sin is forgiven. You're still in the world. You're hiding under the Passover blood. But you're still in the world. You're still trying to survive in the world. But even in that, I write unto you, darling infants, because your sin is forgiven. Then I write unto you, teenagers, you've crossed over into the wilderness. Because the only thing that helps is you've known the Father. The Bible's nothing helps. But then finally, I write unto you, young adults, because you are strong and you've overcome the wicked one. And the word of God abideth continually in you. Well, that overcoming the wicked one if you don't Let me ask something. Again, remember, all flesh is as grass, and the glory of flesh is as the flower of grass. We just studied it, we finished Tabernacles, and we saw our ideas and our things that we thought were good just falling to the ground. I mean, we do it every year. The cycle is boom, bitty, boom, bitty, boom. The last thing before Tabernacles that we read, and we assume that everybody agrees, was the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanity, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. So it assumes, the default position assumes when we enter Tabernacles, the eighth day feast, it assumes that that's the position that is the place. That's where you are. Because you've seen. That's what the whole book of Ecclesiastes talks about. The vanity and emptiness of your mind, and your activities, and your dreams, and your ambitions. Carnal mind cannot be of God. There's nothing about it. It's enmity. It's evil beyond evil. In fact, the mind is using sorcery. That's its way. That's what it does. We don't call it that. We call it figuring out. Do you understand? We've had to learn all of that stuff. We had to learn how to talk. We had to learn how to walk. We had to learn how to read. We had to learn every aspect of who we are. And what we learned is the traditions of our fathers. And it's worthless. It's empty. It's meaningless in the plan of God. Because the kingdom of God is here. It's not coming. It's here. Those are the words of our Savior. Jesus Christ said it. First thing he said, repent. The kingdom of God is here. There's no negotiating. And when he said repent, he didn't mean, oh, I'm sorry I did that. It's the acceptance of your death and the stupidity of your mind. And the assumption is that you're not going to use it anymore. Let's go to John. Chapter 1.
John 12.
John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So there was a man sent from John, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record. And then we could go on and on. But men love darkness more than light. Why? This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. What does it mean to love darkness more than light? Part of you that doesn't want to die. and that's fine. But admit it. Everything is finished. Everything is done. The long suffering of God is continuing because we refuse to see His glory. Because we love the darkness more than the light. We have plans. We have things to do. We have responsibilities, a thousand things, but we love the darkness more than the light. I don't understand. We still think there's, we must still think there's something of value within us, our ideas or whatever it is. Otherwise, we'd run to the but it again, the warfare isn't the warfare that the it's over. The only thing that happens is that this thing tries to you know talk to you, and it's meaningless. It's just, it's like some, it's a flea trying to get an elephant's attention. It's a mosquito that's buzzing around that may be a, you know, that just, you know, it's nothing unless you give it importance. The only way it's warfare is if you're still fighting the war. But our warfare is over. In quietness and confidence, you shall be saved. But if you believe there's warfare, then there's warfare. I choose to believe it's over. And that's, to me, what all the scriptures testify about. Anybody else have any response?
Sweet. It's done. It's been done. It's done.
true. There's somewhere in deep down there must be some justification internally that allows me to, that causes me to occasionally give importance to what I think.
You know, again, I've said often that I would have longed, I would long for the days that if you said you were a believer in the mystery of God and in Jesus Christ, then you were killed. I mean, there's a simplicity about that that is very attractive. And so the test of a believer was black and white. It wasn't subtle. There's no subtlety to it. But now the test is far more subtle. And I've talked about this for many, many years, but it's far more subtle because it's the cosmetic of the bride that's being formed, featured. But the predicate always has to stay the same. The predicate is our warfare is over. It's finished. But because of the general acceptance of Christianity as the almost the state religion, and then you can do all these other things and think God is blessing it. I mean, it's to me it's bright, 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 shining light and black, black, black. There's no in between. And that's not that people just don't like that. People love twilight. If you've ever lived in the desert, there's no twilight. And the reason is there's no humidity. And so it goes from light to darkness just about instantly. And then even in song, men love the twilight. And that's...
Even in what? Even in song?
Huh?
What's your sentence?
In songs. And,
songs.
Okay. There's all kinds of songs about the beauty of twilight. Anyway... But that's why I love the desert. It's light or dark, boom, boom. The twilight is just, if any, it just goes shh. And that clarity is what I long for us, for this body. That there would be no twilight. That when it's finished, it's finished. That the warfare is gone. So only warfare, the war, the trial, if you will, is when you're publicly identified with the doctrine. Then comes the trial of faith that's massive. But it is what it is. All I can do is preach what I preach. John, any response to any of this? You believe it?
It is what it is.
Hmm?
It is what it is.
But again, we all have the capacity, if we see that we're living in twilight, we have the capacity to repent so that we see light and dark only. No more twilight. All right, take a big breath.